and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my co-host, Roger Robbins, in the studio.
Hello.
Just freshly back from a missions trip to South America.
Yes. What it
was awesome.
Yes.
We're happy to be together. We're pre-recording this, and we are really excited for this week's... Actually, this was our idea, wasn't it? This week's theme was our idea, because we were thinking about how summer can just be a time where people can feel a little bit like lost or maybe a little bit overwhelmed, also just with current events and everything that's going on, that we need to find rest as believers and hope. And so this week, all week, we will be meditating on Psalm 23. And each day we will be looking at different verses. So we get to start it off with the incredible verse, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
So we're looking forward to just digging into what this means for us. We're going to kind of break it down and just walk through the verse, really, and pull out some really encouraging truths, some insights, some maybe some fresh insights for a psalm that we have all heard since childhood. It's one of those ones you learn really early on, because it is so, it's a very comforting psalm, I think. But it's just so full of truth. So the whole week's going to be great. I know that all the hosts that will be, you know, in the coming days are going to have an amazing time.
Loaded.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we wake up to this psalm, we go to bed to this psalm, and I just came back from a missions trip with Pastor Stan Collins. We visited him, the pastor in the church in Rosario, Argentina. We went a group of us, six of us, and then there was a larger group that after a weekend there in the church with their shepherd and their sheep and their people. It was so cool, like the whole experience and the life there. And then as a bigger team, we became 12. And then we went to a new country, a country they visited, Pastor Stan's visited twice, to Santa Cruz de la Sierra. Santa Cruz de la Sierra, which is the
Bolivia,
which is the second, it's the largest city, but not the capital. And it was so cool, because in a way, as we speak to these verses today, we very much felt like little shepherds, small s, as you like, we went out into the streets and met with people, and so many people have gone astray and they're looking for a shepherd. And really that's like what a missions trip is. It's like little shepherds coming together.
Yeah.
And we were so unified in Christ being the focus and being everything. And not being like letting the word of God not being constrained.
Yeah.
And we were just saying whatever, what was on our hearts, what was led on our hearts from the word. And it was amazing. It just flowed. And it was like little shepherds walking around finding sheep, really, like from the very first day we're like huddled up in the square. And it was like Pastor Stan's like break, like really. And I like turn around. And then the first person I talked to, it was like an incredible conversation with one of God's sheep, lost sheep.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And so that is missions as well, right? So to start this off, we want to break down the phrase, the Lord is my, and then my shepherd.
Yeah, I mean, we've got,
it's a
very short verse, but we had no problem spending lots of time meditating on this for a couple hours. So we do just want to walk through it. And I also want to point out a book that we brought, because if you've never read this book, it's by W. Philip Keller, and it's A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. So this book is very short. It's not long. It's not expensive either. But someone recommended this, maybe my dad. But it's written by a man who is a pastor, but also spent 8 or 9 years as a shepherd.
Yeah, herdsman.
In shepherd. Eastern Africa. So he has just incredible insights. And this book literally walks through, similar to what we're going to be doing this week, walks through each verse and just expounds on it and gives more insight from somebody who's got, you know, additional depth of knowledge just as a shepherd. So I highly recommend this. We've read it before. I've actually walked through this book with a new believer, in Turkey.
That's a great.
And it was just really, really encouraging to them too. So if you've read this, you know, you never look at Psalm 23 the same again. Highly recommend. And one of the points he makes maybe is a good one to point out, which is that when it says the Lord is my shepherd, so when you consider that we are sheep and we need a shepherd, to say that the Lord is my shepherd, the word Lord, we know when you see that in all capitals in the Old Testament, it's the word Jehovah. And that is like the name for the one true God.
Yeah.
And it also means the existing one.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful name. It is, we know that the Jewish people held it in great reverence. So to say that Jehovah is my shepherd is just so, it kind of makes you want to sit and think for a minute and like, pause, yeah. You know, that the God of the universe, the God who is the only uncreated one, the one who holds the world together. Actually, let me read this little line from here, because he says it. He says, despite the fact that we are, you know, a tiny, tiny little person in a massive universe, the staggering fact remains that Christ, the creator of such an enormous universe of overwhelming magnitude, deigns to call himself my shepherd and invites me to consider myself his sheep, his special object of affection and attention. Who better could care for me? So I think that is, it's amazing to think that we have a God who is so powerful. When you think about the universe, like you can just so quickly be humbled by how vast it is, how complex it is, how like stunning and beautiful it is. And the one who created that with the power of his word is the one who is my personal shepherd. It's almost as though, and this is also a thought from the book. It's almost as though David's like bragging, he's boasting. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd.
Yes.
It's like a boast in God.
Yes.
Like I, as a sheep, what can I boast in? But I can boast in who my shepherd is. And my shepherd is the Lord Jehovah. It's like such an incredible statement in and of itself. And it's a mark on us. You know, it's like God has put his mark on us. I am his.
Yes.
I am his and he is mine.
Yes. And that like, it just breaks the atmosphere, doesn't it? Like, well, it sends the atmosphere into like a roar, you know, like, yay, like amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Like all of creation knows who God is, right? In Romans 1:20. And then we know that that God has revealed himself through his son. We are the most fortunate people on the planet that the pre-existing God revealed himself in flesh. So we can actually, we you know, Peter, one of the, was it Peter that said like, we touched him. We touched him. We touched the shepherd and he became a sheep, you know, like just this, to think that this pre-existing one not only states as that he is the greatest, right? It says Psalm 104. How does it go? My soul knows. How does it go? I just want to read it. It says, my Lord God, bless the Lord, O my soul. O my God, you are very great. But to be great is one thing, but to take your greatness and become like us is to prove that you are the pre-existing one.
Yeah.
Like we cannot as sheep understand that. So today we want to like talk a little bit about the sheep and the nature, but before we go on any further, I mean, just to acknowledge that he's always existed.
Like his preeminence, even without stepping into humanity the way that he did, like he's so worthy of our worship and awe and praise. And yet he came close, you know, and that's why when you think about a shepherd and his sheep. And we know that Jesus approves of this analogy because he says in John 10,
yeah,
I am the good shepherd.
Right.
And the good shepherd lays down his life for this flock.
Yeah.
So this analogy is not just a one-off in Psalm 23. We see it throughout the whole Bible. We'll mention, you know, several times where we are referred to as sheep,
right,
and then where the Lord is referred to as a shepherd. So it's throughout the Bible, and it's a really, it's an intimate relationship,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and that's something we,
that's a
we
good
pulled
point.
Out.
That's a good point because, okay, so you're pre-existing. That's one thing. And you could say in a way, like he's pre-existing and his arms are folded, right? Mm. Like that could be a way of like,
right,
you know, a lot of religions have the worldview that God is great,
mm-hmm,
but then does he unfold his arms?
Right.
Like what is this good, this shepherd doing?
Yeah.
Is he striking his sheep? Is he just not moving and listening? Is he just deaf?
Yeah.
You know, but we know that, like you said, this wasn't a one-off. This is the character and nature of this Jehovah, like pondering Jehovah and yeah, his action.
Yeah.
It proves to us all the more, you know, like the word, this word shepherd, to tend, rule, to teach, to feed, to pasture, to guard, to care, to be a friend.
Mm.
Like that, this has to be, how do we get these descriptions unless we have Jehovah who is all-sufficient,
yeah,
and providing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And if you think about this phrase, okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. So the Lord is a shepherd. That's a fact. But the question is he my shepherd?
Mm.
Is he your shepherd? And I think that is, that's what the gospel is an opportunity for someone to say, the Lord is my shepherd.
Mm.
It is not just a fact about the character and nature of God and that he exists, but is he mine? Do I submit to him? So I think it's good. Let's talk about sheep a little bit.
Yes.
Because in order to really get the depths of what it means to have a shepherd, we've got to sit with the truth that we're called sheep here.
Mm.
So what does it mean for us to be sheep? What does that say about us?
Well, first of all, it says we are limited, finite. Psalm 103, we are dust, and he knows our frame.
Mm.
So the maker knows us. And it really, I think the word that came to our mind was dependent. Like
yeah,
the animal sheep, and then like when we look at it as a picture and to draw conclusions to ourselves, is to see that we are dependent, that we are desperately in need of a source,
yeah,
a life-giving source. And you know, we see this source searched, like being searched out throughout all the earth. You know, the inner part of us looking for the real pasture or the real life-giving source.
Yeah.
And we see from the fall, the separation, right, of that source. And like, even when we were in Bolivia, like having to spell that out again is so necessary, you know, like to say that there's separation from the shepherd and the sheep, you know, like the fall.
Yeah.
So, and then we know that Cain in Genesis 4:2, we see the picture that he was already a shepherd. He tended the flock,
mm-hmm,
you know? So this picture's right away there,
mm-hmm,
like
yeah,
how a man is now caring for animals, right?
Yeah. It's like, I was thinking about that, you know, it says in Isaiah 53 that we all like sheep have gone astray.
Mm.
We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is a prophecy about Christ. Yeah. So all we like sheep have gone astray. So
yeah,
sheep go astray. Mm. That is something that they do. And we can say from experience, living in Turkey for the period of time that we did, we got to witness some shepherds with their sheep, right?
Unbelievable.
And it is a lot of work for a shepherd because sheep by nature wander. Mm-hmm. They wander. They go astray. They're not. Oh, there's a flock and a shepherd, and there's safety there. There's what you need. He's going to lead you to the next pasture over. He knows the right path to take to get you to, you know, the next place where you need to go. And yet those sheep will wander away, and find themselves in ridiculous situations. I mean, I don't know if you've been on the internet and seen some of the, but I remember seeing like a sheep getting stuck in like a little hole, mm-hmm. and the shepherd has to like grab it. It looks kind of like violent. He's got to like really like grab it and with all his strength just like yank this sheep out of this hole. Like, why would it even get into this hole? Can't even fathom why a sheep would even do that. And he gets him out, and he, you know, the shepherd is brushing himself off, and the sheep goes right back and gets stuck again. So I think it's worthwhile, and it's okay for us to laugh at ourselves a little bit to recognize that we are so prone.
Yes.
To foolishness. We are prone to wandering and rebellion. Our hearts rebel against any master.
Yeah. And
right?
isn't that like just bringing that back to the like putting it on the table or bringing it back to focus that I myself am prone to wander. And I misspoke. I said Cain was tending
the
sheep.
Yeah, it was Abel.
It's Abel.
Yeah.
Flip those two around.
I assumed our wise listeners would know.
Yeah. So they, this nature, like this human nature that we have fallen into, sin corrupted. And we are aware of this. Our conscience says so in Romans chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Like it tells us.
Yeah.
Within us. So the moment we like acknowledge this is really the beginning of the sheep.
Yeah.
Finding and really like finding the person whom that they love. Like it says in the Song of Solomon chapter 1. Mm-hmm. You know, like we are searching and it's that's what actually did not draw too much from the missions trip, but really like we went to a city that has all these scattered sheep. And this isn't any city.
Yeah.
Right? Like this isn't any town, any place. And as you look across at the people and the marketplaces and the streets, what do you see? You see sheep, right? Like we admit to that. We agree with that. And then we see them going about their day, doing the things that they do, scattered. And when we get a hold, or when God can get a hold and show them that they have gone astray. And I think everyone, most would agree that in their nature, they're not perfect, flawed, you know, like left lacking or looking for something more, searching and looking, wandering. So, and we see in the book of Jeremiah, there's like this amazing picture of the true shepherd and then the false shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's these false prophets in Jeremiah chapter 2.
Yeah.
That are like tricking and like deceiving sheep. That's a reality. I think it's Jeremiah 2 verse 8, that there's these people that have gone against the law of the Lord and brought in their own law. And I was thinking of like different, like the wrong shepherds.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so sheep are gullible, right? Like I think that's a good word, right?
Yeah.
We say gullible. Because it's a word that means like really we're easy to distract, you know, like, hey, look that way. And we're all like, oh,
yes.
Like,
yes.
You know,
thing.
Yeah. Shiny. Yeah. Like the piranha with the like shiny thing in the water. He's so attracted to it. I mean, not piranha, the barracuda. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many things that point to our gullibleness.
Yeah.
You know, and our nature and wrong shepherds can do it in the most easiest of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is like kind of, I would say the father of lies, John 8:44. So he's really kind of like that false shepherd. And we actually see that in the end times that he is that false prophet.
Mm.
So, and then there's like also false gods that become like shepherds. Right. And that's Jeremiah chapter 10. They cut down things from the forest.
Yeah.
And they fasten them with nails and with shiny things. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And they fasten the metal to the wood and create an image, and it becomes a shepherd.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking too, like, also there's like larger false followings or false yeah. groups.
And I was also thinking just sin. Like, we know that sin is a and master.
The, yeah, that right? was the other one I was thinking, the heart.
Yeah.
It's deceitful. So our heart can be a shepherd and desperately oh, yeah. wicked, right? Yeah. So, and Jeremiah hits it all. If you, a quick study of the book of Jeremiah, you see the hard heart or the heart that is not soft and callous.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, how long does it take a sheep to learn the true shepherd? You know, it could take a lifetime. We saw the testimony the other day of someone who got saved on their deathbed. 3 months, they were like 72. And then 3 months, and then they are right at the right there next to the shepherd, the true shepherd.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
I think it's important to point out that we are gullible.
Yeah, and I think too, like, there's and this comes from this book, which is in the second chapter. He talks about how in his flock he had a certain type of sheep that he. It was always trouble. And he had this one sheep that was in many ways like perfectly fine. She was healthy and strong and all those things, but she was discontent. Mm. He called her a fence crawler. So that meant that she would always be roaming, at the edges of the fence mm-hmm. where he would keep them safe, right inside the fence. And she would be looking for ways out, always looking for a way out. Trying to find a weakness, a hole in the fence that she could get out. And I think that this describes many of us in the book. He refers to that as a Christian who is half-hearted or, lukewarm or backslidden. Right. But, I think it's uncanny to, when we think about how quickly we can become dissatisfied.
Yeah.
With what God has given us. And it says, the second part of this verse, it says, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm. And I think if you don't, just to clarify, it doesn't mean I shall not want anything. We do want things, but it means I shall not lack for anything. Other translations say, there is nothing I lack. Or another translation says, I have what I need. Hmm. And I really like that. I think when I talk to our kids about it, that's what I like to say. Like, if the Lord is your shepherd, you have what you need. Hmm. Because we know that there's things that we want, but there's things that we need. Mm-hmm. And to know the difference between those two is huge. And I love talking to our kids about that when they say, you know, I need this. And I say, do you need it or do you want it?
Right.
And there's a difference, right? And it's the same here. So this means that if the Lord is my shepherd, if I submit to his leadership, if I stay close to him, if I let him lead me and correct me, I will not need anything. Yes. I will lack for nothing.
Yes. And I think that's a good, like, let's compare that. You said my shepherd. So it represents ownership, right? Like, but with ownership comes like responsibility. And then the other word Absolutely. You said was submission.
Yeah.
Submission to what it is that owns me.
Which I feel like is like that can be like a dirty word today, right? Submission. Yes. It sounds like oppression
we were just talking about that about sheep. Like, just the fact that we would call ourselves sheep is like,
it's an insult. Yeah. Like, we're not like beautiful black stallions in this analogy.
No.
We're
flea written and bitten.
Yeah.
Like sheep.
We are dumb in a sense. And I think that it's okay for us to really be extreme in our, to be convinced that we need a shepherd. Mm. And if you aren't willing to be humble and say, I am prone to wander and I don't know what I need.
Yeah.
I know what I want, but I don't know. Who knows what I need?
Yeah.
My shepherd, the one who made me and the one who saved me. He's the one who knows what I need. I love that. It's in Proverbs and it's in Psalm. I don't know which Psalm, you probably know, where David says, give me what is needful for me. Mm-hmm. Give me food that is needful for me. not too much and not too little.
I think it's Proverbs 30.
It's in Proverbs and it's in Psalm. And it's an amazing prayer. And I often think you can only pray that prayer if you really, truly are convinced that God knows what you need and that you don't. Because if you knew what you needed, you'd go out and get it and you wouldn't have any questions. Right. And you'd be totally satisfied.
Right. Proverbs 30:8, remove far from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God.
Isn't that amazing?
Like, talk about a sheep going astray.
Don't give me too much and don't give me too little. Mm. Just give me exactly what I need. It's like the daily bread, right? Yes. It's like the manna from heaven. God's saying that.
Isn't it amazing that God has allowed us to go astray? You know, like, just to think about the free will that God gave us. Like, what a true shepherd he is. That he would give that to us and allow us, if he didn't want us to, he wished that none would go astray.
Yeah.
He wished that none would walk away from his hand, his good hand. But we go astray. And in Zechariah, there's a lot of prophecy, but it's also a reflection of what happened to the people of Israel. And in chapter 10, it says, the household gods utter nonsense and the diviners... diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolations. Therefore, the people wander like sheep and they are afflicted for the lack of a shepherd. So
they're afflicted.
There is something that happens to a sheep. Like you said, this fence wanderer.
Yeah. Fence crawler.
Like that. Like, we are fence crawlers by nature. Yeah. We do jump outside the pack and go, hey, let's figure this out on my own.
Yeah.
But God's like, go ahead. You know, you can. You don't have to. Mm. But we have. We have all gone astray. We are like sheep gone astray. So, but what is the result of that? An affliction.
Yeah.
Like, it is so sad. Like, yeah. it and really that's what touches every sheep that knows the good shepherd, to know that there is another sheep like out there that who is afflicted for the lack of the good shepherd.
Yeah.
And if that sheep would just say and come back to my shepherd, to the one that loves me and knows me best, like that lack would be fulfilled instantaneously. Like I think you said, in Psalm 16.
Yeah.
At the right hand.
Yes.
And you said the best place for a sheep to be is at the right hand of God.
Yeah. I was thinking that there is, like, as sheep, because if we acknowledge that we are sheep, then we acknowledge our limitations. We acknowledge all of these things that we are prone to. And so what does it mean to be a wise sheep? If we are inherently, for lack of a better word, foolish in our ways, then what does it mean to be a wise sheep? It's not to eventually evolve and learn how to find your own way in your own pastures and, you know, fight against wolves on your own. That's not possible. But what we can do as wise sheep is know our shepherd's voice and know that the best place for us to be is at his right hand, so that he can at any moment reach out and lead us, protect us, guide us. And in Psalm 16, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, in verse 8. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. And in verse 11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where we want to be, and that's where we need to be, is at his right hand. The closer we are to, like, the heart of God, right? Mm. Like, I love to think about the fact that a disciple is somebody who is a student of God's heart.
Yes.
And we are learning God's heart. We want to be as close to him as we can be, because we know that He will lead us. He will protect us. He will provide for us all the things that we need.
Mm.
And there may be things that I want that He will provide for me.
Yeah.
But He will only provide for me what I need.
Yes.
And He will remove things from me that I don't need. It's a humble and safe place. Like this, I love that my flesh dwells secure. It's like there's security when we're satisfied being by His side,
yeah.
Not looking over, I want to go over there, or I want to see if there's a hole in the fence over here. Right.
And also I think that's important to notice that David like acknowledges his flesh, right? Like Psalm 103, you know that my frame is like dust.
Yeah.
Like, When the sheep knows his sheepness, you know,
yes,
like
who
when
he is,
he, like
limitations.
Just gets a hold of the nature that he possesses and his gullibleness.
Yep,
it's like let's laugh for a second and take a pause and be like, oh Lord, you know, and that's what Peter said in John 6:68. He said, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know, right? We have come to know and believe that you are the holy, the one holy God, the holy one of God.
Yeah.
Like you are the true shepherd. Where else would we go?
Mm.
You know, and that's like,
yeah.
Does that resonate? Yes, it does. You're so right.
And that's what we can do. Like, okay, we're really being, you know, pretty harsh on ourselves and on people right now. But one thing that is true of us, and it says this in John 10, when Christ calls himself the good shepherd, it's that the shepherd hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So we can know and recognize his voice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things we cannot do on our own.
That's profound.
But we can know the voice of our shepherd.
So
we have that ability, right?
Mm. So remember we mentioned in the beginning, like, okay, the pre-existing one, the God who had preeminence, but who was Jesus Christ in Colossians 1, has been revealed to us in these last days by his son. In Hebrews 1:2, right? Like in times past, it was the prophets.
Yeah.
And in his mighty hand, he led the people out of Egypt.
Yeah.
But now in these last days, he's revealed his son. So the son has made his words known to us and we believed in him, the only begotten God. And you know, remember in that chapter of John 6, Jesus said to the people and to the Pharisees and the disciples, that your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died, but I'm like the bread of life.
Yeah.
So these words are picked up by the sheep's ear. And Jesus said, like, these words will make you clean in John 15:3. Like the voice, the actual voice became flesh. And then we possess shepherd words. Right? Like we possess shepherd words.
Yeah.
And when we like eat them, like we meditate on them day and night in Psalm 1, 1 and 2, like we sit and park ourselves next to the river and we grow and we send roots next to the voice of the shepherd. This sheep is like think about what happens. And it's not just that it's a system, right? Like we're not talking about checking things off the list that a sheep must do, right? Like we're just saying, come close.
Yeah.
Come close to your shepherd because he has come close to you. And that's like of all the other worldviews, the theist view is so profound because the shepherd manifested himself. The God of the universe manifested himself in flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Right? And he dwelt among us. You know, it's like this shepherd came into the scene and then in the most unimaginable way became a sheep like us.
Yeah.
and suffered. And that's what Isaiah 53 says, that he became.
Yep. He was like a lamb to the slaughter for us.
To the slaughter.
Yeah. I think it's important to recognize that this is a psalm that if you're a Christian or you were raised in a Christian home or even just in a Christian country, you've heard it before. It can become very familiar in the sense that it loses its depth of meaning. Mm. And I think, you know, when we lived in a Muslim country for all those years, one of the things I became, you know, increasingly like vivid mm-hmm. in my mind is that there are people who don't know this God. Like there are people who don't know a God who calls himself a shepherd, who calls himself a father. Mm. And those two are similar in that, like a father is so committed to the care of his children. He loves them more than he loves his own flesh. And a shepherd is also one who will lay down his life for his flock. He is so committed to the protection of these foolish creatures who are so prone to wander, just the way that children are so prone to wander and rebel against their father. But it's like such a, I hope for the listener, it's like a refreshment again, like all over again to you, to be reminded that the God who you trust in and who you call Father and Shepherd, there are many people who don't know him. Like in the Muslim faith, he is not an intimate God. He is not a personal God. He is distant and he is fickle, and you do not know what he wills mm-hmm. and what he does not will. In the end, it's a very unstable relationship.
It's scattering.
It's an insecure relationship. Scattering. But the one true God, Jehovah, the existing one, he is one who in him you dwell secure. Mm. Because he's a father and a shepherd. And those two pictures, if that's all you knew of God, it's enough.
Yeah.
Because he is so rich in love for us. And these two pictures of a father and a shepherd just bring that to our limited capacity to understand it, you know?
Well, and as you were speaking, you said father, and you know, and like, who knows us best? Like in our physical life, you know, I asked a question on the street, said, who's the most important person in your life? And many people said, you know, my mother or father.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason is because they are there. And I'm going to use this word overseer. Like that, there's the one person that has overseed their life thus far, right? Like you think about a young adult or someone who's in high school or middle school, like so far in their life, they've had only one or two, hopefully two shepherds of their soul.
Yeah.
And in 1 Peter 2, I was looking for the verse. It says in verse 25, for you were straying like sheep, but now have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Wow.
And that word overseer is like a powerful word. It's beautiful.
So
but I think
there.
In English, it's really like strong overseer. Mm. Like we don't use that word a lot.
It's and like your boss.
Yeah. But like, I think that would bring a negative connotation to it.
Yeah. But it does, that should speak to us, right?
Yeah. Like good point.
Like if it bugs you a little bit, you know, I wrote about that, specific to women, but you know, like the word submission in general is like a dirty word. You know, and it's because the world is so twisted.
Right.
And when we hear submission, we hear oppression.
Yeah. We react negatively.
Yeah. When we hear servant,
well,
we think of a servant being mistreated.
And of course, we know that bosses have gotten a bad rep.
Yes.
Right. Like,
I mean,
well, it's because you've never known a good boss or another good father.
And you know, just to point out also, there are many who don't know a good father, right? And so I've had those conversations too, where people struggle to see God in a clear way, in an accurate way, because they've never known a loving and safe home where a father was what he should have been to them. And to that I say, like, that's all the more reason to ask the Lord to really reveal to you what it means to be a humble, foolish sheep that submits under the hand of a good shepherd.
Yes.
Because we're not submitting under the hand of a cruel, careless yeah.
and
shepherd.
Let's maybe make a little comment about how much time do we have?
We only have 5 minutes.
Okay. Let's make a comment about pastors. The word pastor in Ephesians 4 is also translated as or used as shepherd, right? God gives us, the Lord gave the gifts to the church, evangelists, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then shepherds and then teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, right?
Yeah.
And then it talks about for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ. Like the Lord knew that in this world, we need these small s shepherds, these fathers, these men of God that would bring forth the word of God to teach, to minister to the needs of sheep. Mm-hmm. And I think not only like is a pastor so important, but that the pastor, as a small shepherd, like would just behave the way the real shepherd behaves and tends his flock. It says in 1 Peter 5 that we shepherd the flock, but we're clothed with humility. You know, like that's how a good shepherd of the flocks of churches must behave, clothed in humility.
Right, because each one of us is first and foremost submitted to the shepherd Christ. Right.
And but then I was just thinking, like being in Bolivia, like it's a country where there's a lot of like there has been Christian activity, but there's not a like from what we saw, not a lot of like small shepherds around. Like it was like kind of scattered. And I think you can think of that in almost in every city and in every place, you have groups of people that are looking for a shepherd, you know, looking for someone who would lift up the true shepherd's words, right? Like, and to bring to light, as Paul said, be imitators of me as I have imitated Christ. In First Corinthians 11:1, like be an imitator of that very shepherd-like behavior and see what happens. And it says, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me.
Yeah.
You know, so this world is so hungry and needs pastors and shepherds.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a small point, but,
no, it's good. You're right. Because, I think in the world, the lie, and there are so many lies meant to deceive sheep. And one big one is that, God is not a good God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that would mean that he's not somebody you would want to have, that you would want to submit to.
Yes.
And then there's also just the lie that I can do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into the capabilities of sheep, they could maybe make it on their own for a little bit, you know, maybe by some coincidence, they find a good source of food, or by some coincidence, they make it to some fresh water.
Yeah.
But in the long run, that sheep is not able to make it on its own. And if a person is not willing to face their inability to make it without their creator and their savior, then they will be a lost sheep. And it says again in John 10, Christ says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In verse 10. And it's verse 11 where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So as we're ending here, I think that's what we want to encourage those listening who already are submitted under the good care of their good shepherd, to encourage you to stay close to him, continue to hear his voice. And those listening who have not yet, we hope that you would be convinced of your need for a shepherd and who that shepherd would be, and that you could say, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and I will listen to his voice. So
can I read this verse as we close? I won't,
won't
comment. I'm just going to leave it at the verse, Psalm 95, 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice.
Wow. Amen. We are the sheep of his pasture, the people of his pasture. So thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged and blessed. Yes. Keep tuning in this week to continue just considering what God has for us from Psalm 23. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to tune in tomorrow. God bless you.
God bless you guys.